That's what I'm talking about. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the guest line right now and welcome in a man that played his college ball at Alabama, then played in the NFL with the Saints and the Panthers, and did go to two Pro Bowls, is in the Saints Hall of Fame, and won a Lombardi Trophy with the Saints. And that is our pal, Roman Harper, who's kind enough to join us right now. Roman, how you been?
Zach, I'm doing good, man. I literally just picked up my kids from basketball practice. Now we're going to head to the house and get ready, get on the road, man. Headed down to Louisiana for Mardi Gras.
Oh, wow. I've been to Mardi Gras once. I would tell you I have all these great memories, but I can't really remember anything that happened at Mardi Gras.
That means you had a great time. That's all that you need to know, is that I had a great time. Anytime you don't remember anything, it's a good time in Louisiana. That's what they encourage. They never tell you to go home, and they never tell you to stop drinking,
so,
except for Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, obviously the other day when you see the Chiefs parade. What do you remember about the parade in New Orleans after you guys won the Super Bowl?
That it was way better than any other city that has a parade, because New Orleans is built for that. They literally stopped Mardi Gras. They didn't run parades for a whole day. They pushed everything back. And we got to ride in all the Mardi Gras floats. So the Kickers rode in the Muses, which is a big like stiletto shoe. The Kickers rode in that one. We rode in this big pirate ship where the DBs did. And our DB coach, Dennis Allen, who's now the head coach at New Orleans, was literally at the top on the crow's nest. Like, at one point in time, he had a do-rag on and was crying. He was so emotional, just so happy. And the drinks were flowing. Just know that much. Zach, it was awesome. I mean, the police went and got us the drink. It was great. I mean, it was awesome. It was epic. It lasted about 4 hours longer than we actually planned for, because it was so many people out there, and it was just so crazy for us.
You winning that Super Bowl, what's the lasting image for you when you look back at that team?
Was that, you know, that it's really not about all the plays, but really and truthfully, man, we had so much fun together as a team off the field. Like, those are the memories I really have, is because we did so much together off the court and off the field. Sorry, I'm at leaving basketball practice, but off the field that's where we really made all the memories at. And no team I was ever on hung more than that team. And, man, I just remember just jumping up and down in Jonathan Vilma's arms when we actually won the Super Bowl, because you're playing against Peyton Manning. The game was never over. And when the clock hit 0-0-0 and we had won, I was just there just jumping and hugging. I've never been so happy, and to be able to share that moment. And I still got the picture of my mom and I holding the Lombardi Trophy on the field with during the celebration. And, man, I didn't think I looked like my mom so much until both of us sitting there with the biggest Kool-Aid smiles on our faces. Just, it's amazing. And those are the things that I truly remember. I couldn't tell you, like, two things from the game I remember.
That's awesome. Roman Harper here with us. So you talked about Mardi Gras, right? That's who you're going to now. You also talked about the Saints parade. How does that stuff compare to what you saw this past weekend in Arizona at Waste Management? Because I know we were exchanging some texts, and I've never seen anything like Waste Management.
The Waste Management is a complete four-letter word show.
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy. It is off the chain. It's nothing pretty. And it's not for the weak or the weary. Just know that. You show up there, people are hammered. I mean, I saw on the way in, it was 12 o'clock, lunchtime. And on the drive in, I saw three people throwing up outside. Just randomly. Oh, that's another one. They're throwing up. That one's hunched over. That one's throwing up. Then another one was throwing up too. It was just, I mean, the people watching is crazy. You got to be aware, though. I would tell all the young ladies out there, could you please wear something underneath the dresses? It looked like a nightclub out there, but people are passed out on heels everywhere. And it's great people watching, but I don't think they understand how many people actually show up. And there's no real walkway, so everybody's just kind of going all in the same direction. So it's easy to get stuck in a bottleneck situation, which to me, I don't like.
And unless you're a streaker running across the golf course and then jumping into a pond, you don't get kicked out. Like, I saw a lady try to do the limbo underneath, you know, one of the strings that prevents everyone from crossing into the fairway. And she fell, like, practically in the fairway when golfers were coming. And then her friend just picked her up, and she didn't even get kicked out. Like, that was crazy to me.
It's literally no holds barred out there. Like, nobody ever gets kicked out. People are just going crazy out there, and it's like that's acceptable, and not only that, but it's almost encouraged. It's like I was right, because, you know, you ride a bus over to there. If you get an Uber ride over there, they drop you off. Then you catch a bus over to where the tournament is, to where you have been able to go in and stuff. And literally this young lady behind us in the seat, my wife and I were sitting there, and she just yelling at people on the bus like they needed to chug their drinks. You need to hurry up and get through with it. And then she called them another couple names if they didn't drink it fast enough. And she kept calling it. She referred to the tournament as the wasted management. I was like, this is a wasted management. What are you here for? I was like, I kind of like this girl's energy. I don't know about you, but this girl's on one, and I'm here for that.
The wasted management. I like that. Roman Harper here with us. So you mentioned Dennis Allen. He's looking for a quarterback now. There's a big rumor that it could be Derek Carr. Can you see those two gelling together?
I could. You know, automatically, if Derek Carr comes in there, he's going to be the best quarterback in that division. So that gives you a chance and a leg up. You know, you got to stay healthy, of course. The things kind of got to go right. But you're not even in the conversation of a championship team until you get the quarterback in the NFL. That's where today's game is, and you got to understand that's why it's so important to have that position, and that's why they also claim the biggest bluff.
I think Bryce Young is a brilliant quarterback, but the only knock you hear on him is the size or lack of it. Is the size an issue in the NFL for Bryce Young?
It will be until he throws his first touchdown. And then when he's able to take a hit and get up, because you're not going to be able to keep him all the way clean. But quarterbacks don't take bad hits like they used to in the 80s and 90s when you wanted a 6'4", 230-pound quarterback that was very stationary and stagnant. The game has changed. People move the pocket more. People do a lot more things from shotgun position, which exactly where Bryce Young's used to. And he can go under center. And he has all the arm strength and the creativity within the pocket to do and extend and do all these great things. But people will knock him for his size. I saw him in Phoenix. He's clearly growing his hair, which I think is a smart play right now. So then he doesn't get measured shorter than what he is. So anytime you can get some hair, they can only hate on you just a little bit more, because that's going to give you at least a quarter of an inch, a half an inch, which every inch counts if you're Bryce Young right now. Inch, and I need him eating a lot, because you want him closer to that 200 range, as close as possible as he can get.
Yeah, but when you watch him this year, I was so impressed by him, because it's not a usual year for Alabama where they have all these stars at the wide receiver position. Yep. And I thought he did more with less, and nothing against C.J. Stroud. I think he'd be a good quarterback, but Stroud had so many wide receivers at Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, shout out to myself. I co-hosted Paul Feinbaum today with Cole Kubrick, and we had Jordan Reed on, who's a ESPN NFL draft expert. And he said that same exact thing, Zach, that he was more impressed with Bryce Young this year than he was even last year. So you saw what he could do when he had NFL talented receivers around him, NFL ready guys like Jameson Williams, like John Metchie. The numbers he put up numbers, and he won a Heisman. But if he does not have those things, which you saw this year, he could still go out there and win you the game. That he could still lead Alabama to right there at a championship caliber team this year, a chance at winning a championship, that they lost two games by less than 4 points. And you never said that they lost the game because of Bryce Young and his inconsistent play. It was always, you know, they are in this game because of Bryce Young.
Roman Harper here with us. So we talked about Stroud. We talked about Young. How about Anthony Richardson and Will Levis? Because those seem like those could be the four quarterbacks that go in the first round.
That is what I'm hearing as well. Anthony Richardson has so much upside. He has so much potential, which is one of the worst compliments you can get in sports is potential, because you haven't done anything yet, but you still got it in you. So that's one of the worst compliments, but he's got it. He can run. He's big. He's got one of the strongest arms, if not the strongest arm, in this draft. And he has the potential to be great with all his attributes. Now, how do you get it out of him? That's going to be the question mark, is how do you get it out of him? And can he, like, when you give him the coaching, is he going to be able to take it all in and be able to read defenses and coverages? Because he didn't always do that well. He went games in college where he didn't throw touchdowns. Then he looked really bad at reading coverages and late on throws. So how do you speed up that clock and still say, all right, well, is he a project? Is he not going to be ready for 1 or 2 years? And if so, is that worth the draft pick and where you're going to have to draft him at, because you know how highly coveted these quarterbacks are? Now, Will Levis on the other end, he's going to look the prettiest out of anybody in any pro day this year when it comes to quarterback. Nobody's going to be able to spin the ball like he is. Nobody's going to measure like he is. And he can run. He's athletic. He has all the attributes in the world. The one attribute that I don't like about Will Levis, though, that scares me is, like, buyer beware, is the fact that he turns the football over a lot. So, with his fumbles or interceptions, He's had 20-something of them in the last year and a half of playing ball. That scares me because I thought Sam Darnold would change when he got to the league. You know, at USC his sophomore year, he was great. Junior year, he turned the ball over a lot more than he did his sophomore year, and that trend never stopped. I know going to the Jets didn't help when he was there, but overall, these characteristics are kind of like who they are. Some of the times when people show you who they are and don't tell you who they are, but when they show you something, you better believe it.
How do you rank those four quarterbacks from 1 to 4, one you like the most, one you like the least, between Young, Stroud, Richardson, and Levis?
So I got holes in everybody's game. So right now, Bryce is my number one quarterback, and the only knock on him is his size. You love everything else about him, the intangibles, the leadership, the ability to be able to get protections right. He does way more than any other quarterback in college right now. Second, I got C.J. Stroud. What I saw him do against Georgia flat out shocked me. I didn't think he'd be that successful, but man, he throws a very, very catchable football. The knock I have on C.J. Stroud literally has nothing to do with him. It's because he played at Ohio State. I haven't seen an Ohio State quarterback make it in the league that I love. I don't know why. Maybe he's different, but I'm just telling you what the numbers and what I've seen with my own eyes. Third, I got Anthony Richardson purely because of his upside. I think Will Levis is more ready to go right now, but Will Levis, like I said earlier, has a turnover issue, which really scares me. Anthony Richardson, you just can't deny the skill set and the ability. Now, can you get him around the coaches and in the right system where now you allow him to use his legs and not just make it all just RPO, but initiate him running the football, getting his game going, and then making guys come up and then taking advantage on one-on-ones on the outside. Because on the outside, that's what it's all about, man. Giving your guy a chance to make a play in space and do that with an accurate pass where now he's able to catch and run. I think Anthony Richardson has all those abilities. Silently, on the outside looking into those four, is Hendon Hooker, who is a great college quarterback. The system he ran in Tennessee has nothing to do with what he's going to be doing on Sundays. But it's very interesting because that 15 to 18-yard throw in between those hash marks, 2 yards on the outside of it, 2 yards inside the numbers and 2 yards outside the hashes in the NFL, that's got to be a freaking layup, Zach, on Sundays. And Hendon missed those throws at times at Tennessee. You just overlooked it because he was hitting 50-yard bombs to Jalin Hyatt running down the field wide open so many times this year. So these guys will be projects, but Hendon Hooker I love as well. And you just never know in this quarterback game. You just never know because going to the right system with the right coach, sometimes with the right defense and run game, makes all the world and the difference to the success of a quarterback.
Before we let Roman Harper run, how'd you react to the news of your former head football coach, Sean Payton, going out to Denver and becoming the new head coach of the Broncos?
You know, I texted him, man, and he hit me back, and I congratulated him. I'm really excited for him to be able to go and get back in the booth, and not the booth, but back of the headset on and get back to coaching, which I know he loves and I know he missed. And it's a great experience. And going to Denver is going to be different. It's a team and a franchise that has storied history. Where New Orleans, we made the history, right? It's just a different concept where now you don't have to go there and just blow the whole thing up and say, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm trying to create. You're already in an A-plus organization that has a storied history and won a couple Super Bowls and has all these great legacies. So now you just got to go in there and get the thing right. You got to fix whatever this fracture is in this locker room between Russell Wilson and all the other great players around him. I just met with Jerry Jeudy over the Super Bowl in Phoenix, and I told him, man, be excited. But some days you got to understand Sean's going to try and push guys, try and make them uncomfortable to see what he can get out of them. Don't back down from him, but go out there and show him what you do, man, and work. That's all he really wants. He wants the best out of everybody. He has that Parcells in him. So, you know, some days it's just going to be your day. You're going to be stretching. He's going to come to you, call you some kind of names to really try and push you to see how do you break, how do you handle pressure, and how do you react to these things. And eventually he understands, like, you know what, I'm going to get the best out of this guy when I do these certain things. And he's going to try and figure out how he pushes everybody's buttons to get the best out of them. I love working with Sean. I love playing for Sean because I never went into a game feeling like I was an underdog.
You know, just going off that quarterback conversation that we just had with Roman Harper, does a great job for the SEC Network, former NFL safety with the Saints and the Panthers. It does feel like the four best quarterbacks in this draft class are the four that we discussed in Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, then Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson, whatever four you would order that. I do think there's a separation from Young and Stroud to the other two. But Will Levis and Richardson are more potential type of guys, like Roman was explaining, and I agreed with his analysis. The fifth guy is fascinating to me. And I don't think you'll get five quarterbacks go in the first round, but I just go to like walterfootball.com, and their rankings right now are Bryce Young in at the one spot, then the two spot at C.J. Stroud, in at number three, they actually have Will Levis, and then four, they go with Anthony Richardson. But then the five spot, you got Tanner McKee. That's who they have from Stanford. You know, I know Roman said Hendon Hooker. I think Hendon Hooker could be a really good player in the NFL, and I like what he did this past year at Tennessee, but coming off an injury, I'm sure there's going to be a push for Jaren Hall. I've seen that name climbing out of BYU up the draft boards. Max Duggan, you know, probably a day three pick, you would got to think. Aiden O'Connell, I've seen his names, the quarterback out of Purdue. I also wonder what the conversation's going to be like around Stetson Bennett, too. That's probably a day three pick, but he had a lot of success at college. And I know Hickey, who's like Mr. College Football, he's big on Jake Haener, the quarterback out of Fresno State. Walter Football, though, currently has him ranked the 12th best quarterback in this draft class. So the mock drafts, like, I really do like Chris Trapasso and Ryan Wilson, who did a great job for CBS Sports. Just seeing how many quarterbacks they're going to put in the top 10 is the big question for me. And then how many go in the first round? Like, without looking at these mock drafts, I just pulled them up. I'm going to say that all are going to have clearly Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud in the top five. Then after that, I do think you'll get some that will have four in the top 10. And then I think you'll see some that have three in the top 10. But I'd be surprised if I'm reading through a mock draft and you see five quarterbacks go in the first round. So if I had to take a guess right now, I think you'll see three quarterbacks go this year in the top 10. And if I had to take a guess on your teams that are going to be drafting quarterbacks, it's the Texans, it is the Colts, and then I also think the Panthers will snag a quarterback. Because I know the Raiders are in there at seven, but I think the Raiders are going to find a way to pull off a deal to get Aaron Rodgers. Now, if the Raiders don't end up trading that seventh overall pick and can't land Aaron Rodgers, then you got to make a decision on do you love Will Levis or do you love it Anthony Richardson? Because if the answer is no, and you then really want a quarterback, the guy that you're going to love is either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, and you have to move up the draft board from seven to do that. But for example, Ryan Wilson right now is Will Anderson 1. He has Bryce Young 2 to the Texans. Tyree Wilson 3 to the Cardinals. C.J. Stroud 4th to the Colts. Jalen Carter 5th to the Seahawks. Miles Murphy 6th to the Lions. Will Levis 7th to the Raiders. So there you go. Three quarterbacks in the top 10. Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State 8th to the Falcons. Oh, here we go. 9th, Panthers. Anthony Richardson. Hey, yeah, the Panthers. You know, obviously going to be a team that I'd be looking for a quarterback too. And then 10, Jordan Addison to the Eagles. So Ryan Wilson in his latest mock draft has four quarterbacks going in the top 10. Let's see, does he throw a fifth one in the first round? He does not. Now for Chris Trapasso, he has Richardson going 1. Wow. Now that's stunning. So this is from a day ago. Chris Trapasso, I may want to talk to him tomorrow because I wonder what his reasoning is on this, Chris. Chris has the Colts trading up, and he has Anthony Richardson going to the Colts. Now, Hickey finally listened to me, and for the last 2 months, and it should have been for 3 months, but he didn't listen to me for the first month, and just shows you sometimes why he could be a little stubborn to work with. I gave him this great idea, like, for your Colts podcast, go lead the charge, you'll get Bryce Young. Your team stinks. He goes, oh, no, we're not that bad of a team. Then a month later, you're right, I got to go lead the charge and go get Bryce Young. Hickey is in this mentality and in this mode right now, it's Bryce Young or bust. And Emmanuel, I have one wish because Hickey's been so obnoxious about it. Like, this is what he does. When he thinks something isn't going to happen, like, he puts it at a 0% chance, and he doesn't factor in that what he wants to happen may not end up happening. So is there a shot that the Colts trade up to 1 and get Bryce Young? Absolutely. But if they don't move up to 1, then the Texans are going to take Bryce Young at 2, or if they go C.J. Stroud, then maybe Bryce Young is available at 4. But I find it funny how he is 100%. He said this it was on Tuesday. He said, "I will be mad if it's anyone other than Bryce Young, and I will not believe in them," because he does not believe in C.J. Stroud, and he can't stand Will Levis, and he can't stand Anthony Richardson. So, kind of for the show, because his mental well-being, whatever. But for the show, I'm really hoping that the Colts, like, if I have one wish to start off the NFL season, it's the Colts get anyone in the draft but Bryce Young.
That's great for the show.
It would be phenomenal. And if Trapasso's right, which I don't think it'll end up being, and the Colts move up to 1, imagine being Hickey. And I don't know if they're sending us to the draft this year in Kansas City. They sent us last year to Las Vegas. But that, to me, would be awesome. If we're in Kansas City, and when we're at the draft, like last year they put us like where the fan experience would be. So you can't hear what's going on in the background. Like in terms of the commissioner walks up to the podium with the first pick, so-and-so selects. You don't hear that as it's happening, but we have a feed hooked up to the commissioner's microphone that we go right to. So unless you are stalking Twitter, which I might have to ban Twitter this year at the draft, you know, just so Hickey can't go on Twitter, that would be must see. Hickey sitting right next to me, you get the alert, Colts trade up to the number one overall pick, and he's just sitting there. Like, oh my God, it's going to be Bryce Young. Here, it's going to be Bryce Young.
With the first pick in the draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida.
I think he would have a mental breakdown on the air.
There's nothing like introducing alternate tracks to a one-track mind. And the live reaction to that would be priceless.
It would be cold. Because
incredible.
I said to him the other day, like, you're really going to kill them if they draft C.J. Stroud. And he's going to be like, yep, I want Bryce Young. So if they don't even get C.J. Stroud, who is thought to be maybe the best quarterback in the draft, but in my mind and a lot of other people's mind, he's the second best quarterback in the draft. Like, that's one thing. You could see the vision of him being a really great quarterback. Like, Richardson and Levis seem like they are so boom or bust. And if that's the first pick and the first quarterback off the board, he would absolutely lose it. I think he would maybe quit the show just knowing how much we would dance on his grave. So Trapasso's mock draft right now, Richardson 1 to the Colts. I can't believe that. Then he has Bryce Young, who makes it even better, going 2 to the Texans in division 2. So it's not as just if you don't get your guy, then you have to see your guy in division for the foreseeable future. He then has Jalen Carter going number 3 to the Cardinals, Will Anderson going 4 to the Bears, Will Levis going 5 to the Panthers, Devon Witherspoon going 6 to the Lions, Tyree Wilson going 7 to the Packers, C.J. Stroud going 8. Oh, this is a very intriguing mock draft by Chris Trapasso. He has the Ravens factoring in. Okay, like maybe you trade Lamar, trading up to 8, and then the Ravens taking C.J. Stroud, and then that's it for quarterbacks in the top 10. So he has 1, 2, 3, 4. So both guys have 4 quarterbacks in the top 10. And does Trapasso take another quarterback in the first round? He doesn't. So there you go. Like, 2 guys that are really respected. I know it's so early. And, right, mock drafts for every prediction you make, like, more probably wrong than right. But that just gave me a good sense of how many guys are going to go in the top 10. And I thought it would probably be 3, maybe 4. Only 4 quarterbacks go in the first round. You got to remember, last year, no quarterback, other than Kenny Pickett, only 1 quarterback went in the first round, and Pickett was at like 20 or 22, something like that. It was later on in the first round. This year, just because naturally, you know, there's a supply and demand, and last year the supply was not all that great, and there wasn't this great demand. This year the supply is solid, and you know the demand is going to be up more because one team probably going to get Rodgers, right? I would think Rodgers is going to get traded. Then if he doesn't, that creates another opening. Then Carr and Garoppolo are like, okay, good players, but not guys that you look at as franchise guys. So you're going to have like 5 or 6 teams that are going to be looking to actively pounce, you would think, on a quarterback in the first round. And you never know like who pops out of nowhere and surprises some people with the selection. So when you look at that now, if I had to rank them right now, the four best quarterbacks in this draft, Young one, Stroud two, between Richardson and Levis, it's close. I just think there's more electric upside with Richardson, so I'd put him three, and then I would go Will Levis four. But then to see when the next quarterback goes after those four, and I don't think it will be in the first round, that's also then like an intriguing part of this NFL draft as well. So, sports gods, we're laying out the wish. Hickey does not get Bryce Young because that's all he wants. I want to see Hickey suffer and not only not get Bryce Young, but then Bryce Young, I need him to go to the Texans because I want to see Bryce Young up against the Colts for the foreseeable future.
But is there a part of you that says the Colts don't deserve a quarterback after having Peyton Manning, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then the whole suck for luck, and that doesn't work.
Well, they messed up luck.
Yeah. Well, that's
Ryan Grigson.
But they had like the Packers lineage of Favre to Rodgers.
Yes, they messed it up.
It was all in place. Mm-hmm. It's like, doesn't part of you say, well, they don't deserve that now?
Well, also, since Hickey is a mush.
Yes.
Part of me says, and even though I think Bryce Young is the best quarterback in this draft class, Hack, he is so adamant that that's the only guy that he wants and he doesn't like any other quarterback in the draft class. Even though I want to see him suffer just for the immediate reaction, it may be a more fun storyline just to see how long it would then take him to move off the Bryce train if Bryce is not as good as what he thinks he can be.
That's true. What if they're in that spot, and of course it's not going to happen,
yeah.
But what if they don't take the quarterback?
Oh, they go like a wide receiver?
We'll get him next year. We're saving our chips for the guys coming out next year.
But I think that immediate breakdown, like Chris Trapasso, as I was just reading it, he has the Colts moving up to one and drafting Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, that I mean, look, these things take them with a grain of salt, but I find that hard to believe. And I also found somebody else. I don't want to give out the name, but they had the Texans not taking a quarterback.
Oh, not at all?
No, and I'm like, why? What? I think it was Will Anderson. I'm like, the Texans need a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, and like you're there. You know, it's like
it would be very Texan-like though, when a lot of people wanted them to draft the explosive offensive player in Reggie Bush, and they ended up going with Mario Williams.
Yeah, you know, it turned out
worked.
To be the prudent pick. So,
mm-hmm. You know, some of these teams, even though those people are still not in their organization, they just develop those kind of stenches and reputation.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So it is a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. But imagine if we're at that draft.
Yeah.
Like, they're in person, and the Colts move up to one, and then, like, if you're Hickey, all right, we're getting our guy.
Anthony.
Even wah, better. Wah, wah.
Stetson Bennett.
Max Duggan. Oh, Jared Hall.
That would be wonderful.
Attention, please, passengers. Fasten your seatbelts. We are about to experience a blizzard of free money.
That's right. Deposit a couple hundred bucks into your BetUS account and get into the action with $450. That's $250 more than you started with. I know. Crazy, right? Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I was reading that Eric Bieniemy, we knew this was happening, but he interviewed today for the Commanders offensive coordinating position. And the interview is going to take a pause, but it's going to pick back up tomorrow. So if you're having this long of an interview, and we've seen teams have like really long interviews for head coaching positions that are more well-documented, like last year. Remember, Harbaugh basically was in Minnesota for like 10 hours this year. Sean Payton with the Cardinals was in like an 8 or 9 hour interview, and neither of those guys ended up getting the job, where Sean ended up going to Denver and the Vikings ended up going with Kevin O'Connell and Jim went back to college. But for an offensive coordinating position, not that you shouldn't do your due diligence, but for it to span over 2 days and they're going to pick it back up tomorrow, I'm not saying that he's definitely going to get the job, but it's going to come down to, because you would think the Chiefs job is still there for him in Kansas City if he doesn't want to take this Commander's job, if Bieniemy's going to want to leave Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And you ask the question, well, why would he leave? And I think this is the answer. And I'll fully say this from the start. You may not like the answer, but for whatever the reasons are, it appears that the name Eric Bieniemy, in terms of the hiring cycle, when he's been up for all these years and hasn't got a job, it's really met a crossroads. So now it's how are you going to be able to get a head coaching job? And if what you're doing now, which when you look at from an offensive coordinating standpoint, I don't get why he doesn't have a job. You know, I know what people say about it. Oh, because he's black, he's not getting a job. Or, oh, he's not getting the job because he doesn't interview well. Like, those are the theories, right? But when I look at Eric Bieniemy, what else does the guy have to do? And nothing else has leaked out what are reasons why he's not getting a job that makes you think, okay, we shouldn't hire Eric Bieniemy. Like, I want to see Eric Bieniemy get a head coaching job just to get the answer on how good of a head coach he could be. And it's like, look at a guy like Adam Gase. Adam Gase is Miami. And they didn't do anything too special. And he immediately got a job with the Jets. This guy can't even get his first opportunity as a head coach. So even though it may seem unfair, well, why would you leave Kansas City if you're not getting a head coaching job to make a lateral move? I kind of think Bieniemy even just interviewing for this job with the Commanders is him kind of admitting I'm at a dead end when it comes to me getting a head coaching job, and now I have to pivot and go elsewhere. And Bieniemy has more of a resume than a lot of guys that don't end up getting jobs, that end up getting jobs. And I don't know what else he could do in Kansas City to kind of change whatever is holding him back in getting a job. So I kind of think he has to go to a place like the Commanders, even though it seems foolish, where you know Ron Rivera doesn't do much on the offensive side of the ball, and that will be perceived as Eric Bieniemy is the head coach of the offense. Where in Kansas City, it's, okay, Eric Bieniemy's the OC, and even though a lot of people give him credit of people that you talk to in the Chiefs organization, that's Andy Reid's offense. And Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. Like, if you go to the Commanders with Sam Howell as your quarterback, and you look competent, and he doesn't get a job, then it's like, okay, this guy's just getting screwed out of a head coaching position. But I feel like there are names that, like, we hear for years, okay, this guy is in line to get a job. This guy is in line to get a job. Like, Brian Daboll, for example. I was surprised that Brian Daboll didn't get a job two hiring cycles ago. And you're kind of wondering, like, okay, he'll eventually get a job, right? But then I wonder, like, if he didn't get this Giants job, which he ended up getting, would that name have gotten stale? And would people say, oh, well, all these other teams are passing up on him, so maybe we should pass up on him as well? Like, look at Brian Billick. Brian Billick won a Super Bowl in this league. And for whatever the reasons are, Brian Billick never got another head coaching job. Like, so there are some coaches that have had a lot of success as coordinators or as head coaches that just don't get a second job. But in this case, we're talking about a first head coaching job. And there are some guys that get hired that you're like, who the heck is that? Like Nick Sirianni, I know he's doing a wonderful job with the Eagles. When he was hired, everyone was like, who? I think there's even one report, and I heard a story that Sirianni was like on vacation. He got a call from the Eagles. Hey, you're going to interview. And he's like, really? I got to get some clothes for the interview. And no one at the time was saying, oh, well, in Indianapolis, that was Frank Reich's offense, so we can't hire Nick Sirianni. He got the job in Philly. So for Bieniemy, and Reed has talked about how he's at times, right, let Bieniemy call the plays at the second half, things like that. But for him not to have a head coaching job yet, we're at a point where I think he's even realizing I may have to leave Kansas City. Which you would think if he ever left Kansas City, it would be for a head coaching job. But since he's been passed up now for really like the last 3 years, right? You win the Super Bowl, then you lose the Super Bowl, you lose in the AFC title game, and then you win the Super Bowl this year. For him not to get a head coaching job yet, I'm not going to lie to you and say, yeah, I expect him to get a head coaching job if he stays in Kansas City. Because the only way I see him getting a head coaching job if he stays in Kansas City is probably if Reed ends up retiring sooner rather than later. And I think Andy is going to stay put in Kansas City for another 5 years. And I don't think that's smart to stay put in one job just thinking eventually you'll get the head coaching job. Like, a lot of people believe Josh McDaniels, even though there was that weird story that Jim Irsay took too long in the bathroom and it kind of creeped out McDaniels' wife, and he's like, okay, we can't go to Indianapolis, which I read that somewhere. Yeah. But like, McDaniels, when he went back to New England and left the Colts at the altar after Super Bowl 52, a lot of people thought McDaniels would be the next head football coach of the Patriots. And then he ended up at least getting another head coaching job, but it wasn't with the Patriots because you're waiting on someone else to retire. Like, remember at Syracuse, they named a coach in waiting. Jim Boeheim is still there. So I do think it's risky if you're just staying in a spot just because you think one day you'll get the job. And I heard Mad Dog Russo earlier today ask a question. If Reed was to retire tomorrow, would Clark, pause, Hunt, you got to do that when you say his name, because if you say his name too quickly together, you could say something that is a very vulgar word. Would Clark hire Bienemy? That, to me, as Mad Dog Russo said, is a fascinating question. Because you would think. And they know him better than anyone. But I wonder if Reed retired tomorrow, if the Chiefs would hire Bienemy. You would think so. But he hasn't got a job anywhere else. And Bienemy, I think, is looking at this and saying, even though I would like to stay here, if I don't have a head coaching job, and he does it now, there's another hiring cycle where you see the five guys that get hired. Will I move any closer to getting a head coaching job? And just the mere fact that Bienemy is not only interviewing, but this is a long interview spanning over 2 days with the Commanders, it makes me think that if Bienemy gets offered the Commanders' offensive coordinating position by Ron Rivera, that he's going to take it. Because I really do believe Bienemy believes that he thinks he needs to go somewhere else before he goes to another spot to get a head coaching job. And maybe he just doesn't interview well. Like, I can't say that, but it's clearly it's either people think he's not getting hired because he's black or he doesn't interview well. Because you look at the resume, we've seen guys do a lot less than Eric Bieniemy and get hired. I don't know what the answer is why Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a head coaching job. I can't tell you it's because it's the color of his skin. I can't tell you it's because he doesn't interview well. But it is mystifying to me that with what he's done in Kansas City and how many other guys are in other places and don't do nearly even a quarter of what he's done. And also, like, you can't tell me, oh, he doesn't call the plays 100% because there are guys that don't call the plays that get hired. And it's worked. Like, look at someone like Harbaugh. You know, Sirianni, for example, just recently. So for Bienemy, I'm hoping one day he gets that head coaching job. Because I just want to get the answer, is he going to be a good head coach or not? And it's just been so many years of the same conversation. The only reason I'm bringing this up today is because there's a new wrinkle into the conversation, and it's because this is someone that now is interviewing for not a head coaching job, an OC job, offensive coordinator job, making what would be a lateral move and going to the Commanders. And if Bienemy goes to the Commanders, has some success and doesn't get a head coaching job, then I have nothing else to really say on why this guy isn't getting a head coaching job. because then everything you would say he had to do or any question you could possibly have, you would just say, well, he did all that. And not only did all that, he succeeded at all that. Like Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator and a wide receiving coach. Was he deserving of getting a head coaching job? No, and it was a disaster. So for every success story, when you look at a guy's resume, you're like, oh, he's not deserving a job, and it ends up working out well, there's always a lot of other jobs where people get hired, and most of these hires end up being bad hires. But for Bieniemy, I'm just at a point where I want to see him get a head coaching job because I want to know if the guy's going to be a good head coach or not. And the fact now that he may have to go to the Commanders to try to then put himself in a position down the road to get a head coaching job, it just seems all bent out of shape because what this guy has done in the league so far, he is deserving of getting an HC job in the NFL. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, we got a lot to do in the final hour of the show. Is Kyler Murray a franchise quarterback? Where will Lamar Jackson be playing football next year? And I'll give you a few reasons why I'm not rooting for Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns. Back in five, across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app.